The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org. Thank you for joining us tonight. It is our 8th annual Philadelphia Book Festival. This is the kickoff event. We have numerous events for children and adults throughout the neighborhood branch system, so I'd urge you to go to freelibrary.org/bookfestival to see who is coming to a library near you. It just so happens on this first night of Passover that the honor of introducing Pat and Gina Neely falls to this Jewish guy. All I can say is that there are enough good pork recipes in their cookbook to get me in a lot of trouble. So please don't tell my parents. They think I'm at my aunt's Seder tonight. Now, you probably know the Neelys from their popular Food Network series, Down Home with the Neelys, and maybe you know them from the best-selling cookbook of the same name. The Neelys' success on TV gave them the gumption to bring their southern cooking north of the Mason-Dixon line to New York City, where they opened Neely's Barbecue Parlor, which was described by the Village Voice food critic as one of the 10 best barbecue places in the city. Tonight, the couple joins us to present their latest concoction, Back Home with the Neelys, a cookbook with easy recipes, a friendly tone, and pictures that'll have your mouth watering before you can say apple, bacon, and bourbon-stuffed pork chops. Yeah, see what I mean? Our guests will be interviewed by Philadelphia Inquirer Table Talk columnist and editor and producer of PhillyFood.com, Michael Klein. Please join me in welcoming Pat and Gina and Michael Klein.
We're going to have a little bit of fun tonight.
Closer.
It's so great to have you here. Do you get to Philadelphia a lot?
We actually do. Oh, yeah. I mean, QVC is not far, and we launched a cookware line a year ago, and our cookbooks, so we spent a lot of time there. We actually just passed the Four Seasons where we normally stay, and I said, that place looks familiar. We normally hang out here, but we love the city because Gina and I have spent the last week in New York. And I tell you what, leaving New York and coming to Philadelphia is like a breath of fresh air.
It is. Everybody's so friendly. I got out today and I walked around and got lost, and everybody was helping me get other places than the hotel.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
So I got some shopping done.
Yeah, we Philadelphians are really good about telling people where to go.
But exactly.
I knew I was out of New York when I got to the elevator and somebody says, good morning, how are you?
Oh, I know, and they spoke back. And
right.
In New York, when you get in the elevator, you go, hi. They
look at you
and
like,
I do this. I said, I forgot I'm in New York.
Why are you talking to me?
No, I don't talk to people. I want to step on you. Go.
Oh, it's okay. It's fine. Step all over me. So we're here tonight primarily to talk about this new book, Back Home with the Neelys. How long has this been in the works?
Gosh, a couple of years maybe?
At least. I mean, when the book actually got finished, I had to reread it again to remember what we did. Because we tested recipes, then we went back out and did some other stuff. Because Pat and I do demos all over and appearances and things like that. So I had to go back and reflect on the stories, but writing that cookbook was so emotional, and just we had to kind of really take our time and go through it because it brought back so many memories. And my great-great-grandmother who raised me, especially with a single parent, and it was just so touching. So that was a little tough one. But now we're a trilogy.
You know, I always tell people, you know, Down Home with the Neelys, our first cookbook, which was a New York Times bestseller, and thank all of you for your support.
Yes, thank you.
And then the second cookbook was, Gina and I kind of wanted, because she party so much, and we have so many guests at the house, we decided to do one about celebrating different events and things of that nature. And so she and I spent some time, Mike, and we kind of thought about, well, now what do we write about? They know the story. They know how we met. They know about the television show. They know how we party. And we decided to go back and really spend some time. When were we first introduced to the culinary arts? And back then, it wasn't the culinary arts. It was grandmama with a house coat on.
With the cast iron skillet.
You know. Yeah. We did a show this morning, and they said, well, how do you cut greens? I said, I don't know shit. My grandmama picked greens.
Right.
And so in the book, we spent a lot of time talking about our grandparents and the grandfather when he used to take me fishing, and he would come back and we would take the fish and get on the back porch and clean it and take the spoon and get the gills off and cut it open and clean it. And then grandmama would have already in the cast iron skillet hot oil with the cornmeal ready to cook fresh fish. And we wanted to put our own spin on it because everybody, now you can't fry everything, you can't do all this. Well, hell, I fry everything. I don't think I look too bad. What are y'all doing?
Yes, he does.
But we decided to do a blackened catfish. I was telling someone the other day, Gina's grandmother used to make an oxtail stew. And when I was in high school, 15, 16 years of age, I would go and over to sofa coat. You know what they call a couch coat?
No, a house coat, baby.
A couch. No.
House coat.
No, your grandmother wore a house coat, but I was over there to sofa coat. That's a southern term.
That's,
you know, when you coat.
Was trying to get me, and my grandmother was not having it. She had a mirror where she can actually cook and look in there and say, like, hey, scoot over some. You're too close to my grandbaby.
Boy, get over. You're sitting too close to my grandbaby. And she'd be snapping those peas, but she was watching me at the same time. So, you know, I think that's what Gina means when she says it brought back so many memories of, you know, the early days when our grandparents cooked. You know, we do a section and then we talk about housewives. And we're not talking about those women on these cable channels. We're talking about those real housewives.
Really, they're called homemakers.
Homemakers, yes.
Homemakers, the unfulfilled.
My grandmother would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start dinner. It's 4 a.m. Breakfast is in one oven and dinner is going on. And she used Pledge, and I shouldn't be promoting them unless they're going to write me a check. But anyway, she would almost polish the stain off the table. They cleaned every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They vacuumed, they cleaned, they cooked. Granddaddy came home and they ate. And in the book, we have a pickling section, and we were passionate about pickling okra and hot peppers and things of that nature, and jams and things of that, because my grandfather would come home every evening and there was a jar of hot pickles on the table. And y'all can relate to this. And he would put it on
everything.
Meatloaf,
yes.
And greens and cabbage. And I said, Granddaddy, the only thing you ain't sprinkling that stuff on is your ice cream at night. Granddaddy had it on everything.
This book, to me, I guess if I have to describe it, it's really about what cooking really should be, an action of love. When you cook for people, it should almost, as you're preparing the meal, when you're stirring it, you're like stirring in the emotion of love. I want this food to warm their body, their soul. And so, you know, in a time where people are processing things and microwaving things and going so fast, it's really nice to just kind of get back to the basics and kind of get back to what food really means, what it feels, the emotion of it, not just the practice of it, but what it really does for the soul. And I think that's probably the best way to sum up that cookbook.
Okay, that's great.
Thank you.
So I'm going to, first of all, you have a recipe in here for mashed cauliflower with cheddar and chives.
Amazing.
Which sounds amazing. And the best thing is, I remember when I was a kid, my mom once tried to give us, instead of mashed potatoes, I hated it.
I know.
And these are great.
Because you can trick them.
Well, you can trick them.
Yeah, because
and
it looks like mashed potatoes.
They trick
our kids now into eating more vegetables. Like, for instance, my daughter that's 19, because my nana that raised me had a garden, so she was very, very good about eating vegetables, squash. You know, kids now, they don't want anything that looks, if it's not from McDonald's or somewhere crazy. But now, I have to say, kids eat sushi, too, which I told my daughter, I don't know where you got that from, but that's too expensive, little girl. But now I eat it, too. So that's our little girl's night out for us. But it's taking vegetables like that because you can put it in food processor,
right.
mix it in. But and it's so funny because we did it on the Today Show. And one of the hosts came out who didn't do the segment with us, said, oh, let me get some of those mashed potatoes. I didn't open my mouth. And then she said, it's not mashed potatoes. I said, I know it's cauliflower. She said, yeah. Oh, my God, it's amazing. I would have never eaten it, though. I said, exactly.
I mean, there is cheese in here, so it's not.
It's cheese and butter and sour cream, because sour cream is really what keeps it creamy and smooth and hot milk.
Yeah,
that's the little trick.
Delicious.
And if you want to, you can just go on and cook your little bacon and sprinkle that across.
We don't
the
need the pork. You know, I have pork for everything.
Yeah.
That one right there.
There was somebody on here earlier talking about the pig. I don't know where he came from.
I know. I love the pig. But in moderation now.
Yeah. I actually have a recipe in here for, is it bacon candy?
Candy bacon.
Yes.
Is that not insane?
That is insane. I haven't tried that yet, but why don't you tell
sugar,
me about it?
We got maple syrup and brown sugar, and we just take our bacon and we lay it on a bacon sheet with some grates, and then we mop on our brown sugar and our maple syrup, and you just bake it off. We actually sell that. I don't know if any of you guys have made it over to New York to Neely's Barbecue Parlor at 62nd and 3rd,
yeah.
But that's our restaurant that we opened 3 years ago, and we serve it as an appetizer in mason jars.
In a mason jar. It's really good. Because it's like a sweet, and it has like a pepper, like so it has a sweet heat to it, plus the pork.
Let me just take a quick side trip up to New York for a second.
Sure.
How has New York embraced the restaurant?
You know, I think that I've always said this about food. Food is regional. Mm-hmm. You go to different parts of the country. Last night I had a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, which I have to have every time I come to Philadelphia.
I did not.
But I had a big one, too. I told him, put extra cheese on it. Put the peppers on it. Don't play with it.
How did he sleep?
9:30 at night. I slept right on it. I said, the hell with it.
Yeah.
Oh. Just go on, give it
and
to
I
me.
And I paid for it. So, yeah. I should have eaten one. I paid for it. Yeah.
I ain't worried about her. I'm going to have this sandwich. But we always refer to Neely's Barbecue Parlor as where the South meets Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is that it is incredibly successful because when you manufacture and produce great food, I don't give a damn where you are, people are going to love it. And the collard greens, the mac and cheese, the catfish, the fried chicken was going so well that we had to put it on the menu 7 days a week. And, of course, we do our barbecue and,
salmon.
All Gina's cocktails are at the bar. The last time we were there, you know, Gina's allergic to smoke, and in the basement we have a cigar bar, which is completely separate from the restaurant. When you go in, you never know that there's a cigar bar in the basement. And so we're there, and the hostess comes over to our room, and she says, Michael Strahan is in the cigar bar, and he was wondering if you guys
were
here.
Baby, who is that? I about ran over Pat. I was like...
She knocked me over, ran down there, smoke all over the place.
I was worse than Kelly. I would say, if Kelly ever gets sick, you can call me, you know that, anytime. I will pay for myself to come to the show.
I said, I thought you was allergic to smoke. She said, not tonight.
Michael Strahan is in the house. We all took a picture and I cropped Pat out. And put me and Michael at the New York Parlor.
Ain't that crazy?
Wow. Crazy.
Well, you only live once.
But we're very proud because to come so many hundreds of miles away from the South and bring good Southern cuisine to New York and into Manhattan and be so well received, it's just been truly, truly an honor. And we're not done yet. We might even end up here in the city of sister and brotherly love.
Oh, really? You're thinking of opening a place here?
We would love to. You know, the thing about restaurants is this. We would like to do and share our food as we have on television for so many years with as many people as we possibly can. But the biggest challenge when you start trying to do restaurants around the country is the fact that you got to have fantastic partnership, good people that can replicate your brand.
And
if they can't do it right,
yeah.
I don't care what kind of check you talk about writing me, I'm not doing it. If I don't feel it in my heart that you're going to represent me well, then I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to have you lovely people come in and say, is this the Neely's? It's not going to happen. I just assume not open and continue to write cookbooks and let you watch us on television. You guys cook it at home yourselves.
Okay.
Right. It's got to be done right.
Thank you.
Okay. So what was the last meal that you cooked? I know you've been on book tour for, how long have you been out?
Oh gosh, we don't even know anymore.
You don't remember?
No.
It's April the 14th,
I think. Is it?
Yeah, something like that.
We started like on the 7th. We started like a week ago, but we don't end until like June.
Yeah.
You know, we go home for...
No, actually, we have something in August they just added to the... The calendar, it's constantly added. I mean, you look at one day and you go, okay, I have this schedule. You plan in your mind what you're going to do, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do. And then you open it again and you're like...
Updated schedule.
That wasn't there yesterday.
But we're having fun. You know, the biggest joy about it is getting an opportunity, and obviously we're going to get a chance to chat with you guys, and you guys can talk to us in just a bit, is being able to connect and talk to you guys. I mean, the national shows and all of the things that we do in front of the camera is great, but the biggest joy that we get is hanging out with the people that support and watch us and follow us and give us the encouragement that we need to do the jobs that we do. So we were super excited when we found out
we were coming here. And we didn't have to talk and cook, because my husband, you know, he can go long. I have to kind of jump in there.
She just
we can just talk to you.
Yeah, we love that. We love that.
You see that? You have to come in.
Okay.
Just go.
No, I...
We only have 30 minutes.
She's been doing it for 35 years.
It was so funny because when we first started filming, that was one of the things the producer said. Like, Pat would start. And Pat is, now, don't get me wrong, he is the absolute best storyteller. I'm just...
Oh, thank you. There you go. There you go.
Hold on.
Thank you, baby.
Hold on, Miss Third Row in the blue. You got your man beside you.
Thank you, baby.
You know, I am from the South. But no, it's so funny because it was only a 30-minute show. Well, really 22 minutes with commercials and everything. And Pat would always tell these long stories. He'd go, oh, Pat, you know, because Gordon was Australian. That's a great story, mate. Great, great story. But can you just bring it in all the way and tell the same story?
And you know what I would tell him? Well. If you're such a damn good producer, edit this shit. Yeah. I'm going to tell my story.
Such
you figure
riot.
Out how to
I know.
Get it in there. Go ahead, Michael.
Well,
go ahead
and
give me your chance to talk about it. He's supposed to be asking us questions. We didn't take over.
I know, you're just like holding the book like...
I'm just a straight man here.
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. I'm not asking you.
I'm going to jump in anyway.
I know you will. The last time you were home, what did you make?
The last time I was there, I just made some hummus.
Okay.
Or some pita chips. Something quick.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I was running. I mean, it's, you know, my day sort of starts, like I try to have, my whole thing now is having 6 meals a day, get my snacks in, I go exercise, because now we're empty nesters, so it's almost like it's Gina 2.0. I'm just discovering new things about myself. I took a pole dancing class, I took a hip-hop and heels class.
And then she came home and told me and showed me about it. I was like, yeah. When
everything
you going back, baby?
To do and didn't have time to do. So it was just something quick like that because I was kind of running. And then we had some new restaurants that opened in Memphis, and I always think I'm a food critic myself.
You are.
Okay. Oh yeah. At first, I check the cocktails. That's first and foremost.
So you have to be a little bit drunk to be.
That's
all right.
I can flow either way.
It's fine.
I could be tipsy and tell you everything you told me the same night. I'm not that girl.
Okay.
I always know what my underwear is. I'm never at a loss for that. Then you won't ever get me with that one.
Okay.
So Gina made the hummus as an appetizer.
Right.
And then I fired up the grill.
He's always
And I did a rack of baby back ribs, and I did some corn on the cob that was in the husk with some barbecue seasoning, and I baked some
chicken,
baked potatoes on the grill, and then I took some asparagus and put a little olive oil on it, and I cut my bacon in half and I wrapped it.
And you know, it's so
and I threw all that on
all
the grill.
For dinner.
You know. And Gina was like, "You fool!" She said, "I'm full." I said, "Are you sure?"
Let's eat on a salad plate, not an. It's like a big charge, like an entree plate. Let's get on a salad plate now.
I love to cook. I love to cook.
He does.
I absolutely love to just get out there on that grill and put a bunch of stuff out there and just put it all out there. I always overcook now that the girls are gone, and then I wrap it in foil or in a Ziploc bag and warm it up the next day. Or it's hard because the girls are gone now, and it's hard to try to prepare just small amounts. And then Gina is, you
I'm
know,
cooperating.
I got me a new girl. You know how old men do? We update. I updated.
Well, I made sure
you know,
he
I got
upgrade.
Me one 20
I
years
upgraded,
young.
I upgraded myself. Because it was going to be cheaper anyway.
Wow. So when I updated, it's hard because, I mean, she eating hummus and, you know, romaine lettuce.
That's a
and,
black eyed That's a. It's not. That's a black eyed pea hummus recipe. That is so good. That's so good. That's really good.
She eat that, and then I said, go on, go to bed, honey. Daddy be back in a minute.
But I have to say, even when Pat and I first started working together, not dating, but working together, I could never understand how he could get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and just go and just all day at the restaurant. And I was in banking then before we started working together. And our girls were smaller. And I was like, what do you do all day there? Like, what are you doing? And I never worried about him cheating anything because I could time him by my watch, okay? He's at the grill. He went to the gym. He's at the bank. So if there was any lapse in time, I knew I needed to get on my job. Hey, Missy Pooh, come back here. Because it's so funny because when Pat and I started working together, people thought we were brothers and sisters, not husband and wife. And we did a catering, because I did the catering party, but it was like 1,500 people. And the lady called back and said, oh my God, I love the food. It was great. She said, but this guy out here that's serving the food, he is so cute. She was talking about Pat. I said, really? Who? And she was like, he got a baseball cap on. She described Pat to a T. She said, do you know him? I said, I think I do. I said, yeah, I know him. She said, I want to ask him for his phone number. I said, girl, you should. Go ahead. Try it. I think you should. Go ask him. She was like, and then she called me back. Then she said, really, Gina? Really? That's what you're going to do? I said, I couldn't help myself. I'm a prankster. She said, and Pat got all nervous. What? No. We got to pack up now. We got to go. I love telling that story because she was just like, I can't believe you did that to me.
And you still work together.
We still work together.
Do you get sick of each other?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody does. Mm. Yeah. What are you going to do at this point? Really? 35 years?
Yeah, wow.
Who wants to try to retrain that? Ladies, really?
Yeah. But, you know, we've been knowing each other for so many years, and we know each other's moods, and we know each other's... We always tell people our lives have hit so many different stages. You know, when the kids were younger and we first got together, it was really a big partnership. Less professional and more about raising our kids and cooking great meals at home. Then as they got older and started doing their own things in high school, we kind of turned loose a little bit. Now we're empty nested and we're at another stage. I mean, Gina's doing so many fantastic things in the community and so many of her own things that she's always wanted to do all the years that she sacrificed being a wife and raising the kids, that she's able to do her things and her girls' night out. And she went to Vegas last year with all the girlfriends and hung out. And I played golf and didn't wash no dishes for 3-4 days. That's laundry all over the place. So, you know, now we're at that stage to where we do so many things together, but we do independent things that we have the opportunity to do. I love golf. I play golf 7 days a week. I mean, and you know, I love hanging with the fellas, and she loves
you're
doing her community
things. Let me take a
poll
on that. Who all likes golf in here? Who likes golf? That's
maybe
what I thought. 3-4
guys.
Right. Really? Okay.
I love
can see is just putting like my little card.
Did y'all watch the Masters?
Cocktails.
Did you watch? You missed Tiger. I bet you we all missed Tiger yesterday. I mean, we missed Tiger.
She said she did. Mm-hmm. Me either.
You didn't miss Tiger? No,
she
baby.
Said, did he play?
He had back surgery. He didn't play.
You either love him
or you hate him, but you have to appreciate.
I wouldn't know what I was looking at anyway.
You either love him or you hate him, but you have to appreciate the attention that he brings to the game. I mean, I don't know him personally. I don't know if I'd like to hang out with him and have a beer with him, but I do know that on Saturday evening or Sunday when he starts up, it's exciting to see if he's going to do something spectacular and come back and win it or give somebody a run. He makes other golfers nervous. And so it is raise awareness in golf, which is what I love about it. But I love playing it. Okay, enough about golf. Oh, I see the way you're looking at me like we're talking about back home with the Neelys, and you talk about Tiger and golf. Kind of golf shoes you wear. Come on, Michael. Bring us back.
Okay, I'll bring you back. Come on. Tell me about what you're working on. Your individual stuff.
I did a campaign for the George Foreman Grill where I created recipes for them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 500 calories or less, and snacks. I lost 20 pounds in 12 weeks. They had me on a timeline. Yep. And because I did that. I've been having so many questions about it. I've been actually thinking about putting like a little pamphlet together, like a little small handbook. Because what happened was I always use my birthday as my anniversary to get my mammogram. And it's so important that we get our mammograms, our pap smears. Women, it is so important that we stop what we're doing and take care of ourselves. Because if we're not healthy and in our best place, we can't help our loved ones or our extended families. So that became, especially I'm getting close to 50 now, so that became very important to me. And it was just ironic because hypertension runs in my family, and I was starting to have to deal with that, and that opportunity came when George Foreman came along. I was like, wow. So I thought, man, who can lose 20 pounds in 12 weeks? So it was a really strenuous campaign. So I created the recipes, test them and everything, exercise. But now what happens is it becomes a lifestyle for you. Things that you used to love, you don't really love anymore. Like, I can eat 2 M&Ms, and that's plenty for me. When normally I could eat the whole, like, the big grab bag, throw them at myself, laying on TV, looking at a TV show, and picking the colors out, just acting crazy with them. So what it does is create a lifestyle. And my girls, like my daughter that's in college, she works out. She's running now. My oldest daughter is working out. So they see what it's done for me, and it's so funny because my daughter that turned 25, we had a birthday party for her, and her boyfriend said, is that your natural mother, and is that your biological mother? Did she adopt you? Because she's over there dropping it like it's hot. She said, that's my mother, and she's insane. So don't pay any attention to her. She doesn't have any sense. So I think for the girls, I have more energy now. I feel good. And when I wake up, it's just, I'm ready to go. It just does something for you, not necessarily for vanity, but the energy that you have and the things that you want to do, it just makes you want to get out and help people. So also in our community, I took...
Well, hold on before you say that, baby, because I just want to say one thing about...
Oh, my story got long, didn't it?
No. You got all night. They ain't going nowhere.
Yes, they are. Yes, we are.
It's an environmental thing, too, because even if you have a spouse that you're trying to get encouraged to be healthier, I was forced because the whole household changed. Just before we started this tour, I was up to 15 miles a week on the elliptical machine, and I would do 3-4 miles in less than 3 minutes. And I'm eating, I'm instead of so much bacon and eggs in the morning, now I have a protein shake, and I'm eating healthier, and I lost about 10 or 12 pounds, all because Gina's challenge. So, you know, I'm truly grateful for her because I don't want her to get that life insurance policy. No,
I was just going to say that. He don't want me to get that policy.
Hold on,
sister. But
I'm not
taking care of him, so you keep working at it.
They done already told me. They said, we're going to put your ass in the ground, and we headed to the airport, me and the girl.
Well, we have to breathe properly. With a little umbrella on the beach. Oh, we miss Daddy, so cheers.
They're going to be crying in first class.
Lord,
Daddy was such a good man.
Can you give me another glass of champagne, ma'am? Clutching my pearls.
Daddy was so good. So I started exercising, and consequently I lost weight. And quite honestly, I feel better. And so, you know, I give all the thanks to my beautiful wife who initiated the program, and she got us all doing a lot better.
And you men, too. Get yourself checked. I know y'all hate to go to the doctor. You guys hate to go to the doctor, and you're the worst patients ever.
But, baby, tell them about your community stuff, because I'm super proud of you. You've been throwing down. She's been throwing down, y'all, in terms of all of the community and nonprofit things she's been doing. Go ahead, baby.
So I brought like all our local chefs together in our city. We did a thing called A Taste for Tennis. And what it is, an organization where underprivileged kids who don't normally have access to like a racquet club or a sports club, so we give them tennis lessons and have people come in and give them lessons, but it also gets scholarships, sportsmanship. So they have people also, we had Boris Kojo come in and speak. I didn't know Boris Kojo even played tennis. He was actually amazing. He's in Paris. He was three. He's out of Germany. And he came in, he did a lesson, and the kids really enjoyed it. But we ended up raising, and this was our first annual event ever, a team with our Grizzly coach, Dave Yeager, and we raised like $50,000.
Yeah.
And I bought in 40 of that. So I was, you know what? And it's so funny because I'm not a big fundraiser. I don't like that. And I kept saying, you're not asking for yourself. You're asking for the children. But I don't like asking for money. So fundraising is really not my strong suit. Thank God I got personality. And I kind of raised the girls up when I went to talk to someone. So I really need this check for my kids.
That's how she got me. But you know, it's rewarding because we spent so many years running restaurants and hosting television shows and doing so many different things from the professional standpoint, that now we have an opportunity to really do some of the things that we want to do. You know, our motto has always been do what you don't want to do so you can get to the position to do what you want to do. And I just partnered with Family Dollar. And Family Dollar, when they first called me, I was like, I don't sell motor oil. What y'all want? But amazingly enough, they have launched a food product line in all of their stores. And all of their stores now have several aisles of great food products, from Kraft to Ragu to all of these seasonings and spices. And the thing that we're stressing is that from a convenience standpoint, from a value standpoint, for in terms of pricing, to the customer service end, is just impeccable. And I was blown away because before I decided to partner with them, I said, well, I got to visit some of your stores and see if you guys are somebody I want to associate my brand with. And every store that I went in, I was greeted. The stores were clean. And I think the thing that I'm most proud of is that Family Dollar doesn't have an economic bracket in terms of where you will find their stores. They're in middle, lower, upper class. They're all over. And the convenience side of it is you can go in there and get great products even during the week to make good, healthy meals. And then the final thing that nailed it in the coffin for me was we're on a campaign right now where I'm judging 10 bloggers that have to submit recipes from dishes that they've bought for under $15 at Family Dollar. And I will select a winner. The winner will come to Memphis and come to the house and prepare the meal with me. And that was pretty cool for the bloggers.
I didn't see that part in the contract.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we blacked that out for you. But the other part that was even more attractive was the fact that they're doing a sweepstake. So go to Family Dollar because this is the last week, and you can enter a contest, and whoever wins will get free groceries for a year.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool, you know, with some of the programs that they had, and I flew to Charlotte and met with the team and saw how fantastic they were. I said, you know, this is a program that I want to be a part of because they're looking at everyone and not just some of the other competitors that only cater to certain groups of people. And also, I'm planning to be a part of the USO this summer and do barbecue all over the country and go with the troops and cook. Because let me tell you something, these people, thank you. And, you know, they don't pay anybody to come and do these
events. Why would they pay?
Well, here's the thing.
I don't think you should.
I always felt like when they called and asked, I said, shit, I'm Bob Hope. Bean calls me around here, right?
You remember those guys.
You know, the old guys, they would go and do those things and to hang out with the troops and to thank them and to grill and make good barbecue for them for their service, because obviously they don't get paid for what they do. They do it for the love and for the support of their country. For me to take, you know, some time out this summer and go and hang out with them is pretty incredible. So it goes back to what we said when we started, that Gene and I, now that our girls are grown, we have the freedom to travel and do the things that that are dear to our heart and that we're passionate about. And we want to continue to do that, because not only is it rewarding and gratifying for us, but it's also a level of setting the example for some of you guys' kids that may one day have a stage and a platform that's fairly large, that this is what you're supposed to do. If you don't reach and give back and set the example. Gene and I were in the green room 3 days ago with Whoopi Goldberg and Greg Anthony. Some of you guys may not know who Greg Anthony is, but he's an NBA basketball player who's now doing commentating for several networks, ESPN. And we chatted for a while, and we chatted about African-American people that have used, whether it's basketball, Whoopi used comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, we've used cooking as a platform, but we have to be very unselfish and realize that God blessed us with this talent, but he didn't bless it with it for us to buy 3 Mercedes and for us to, you know, to have a big home and a bunch of jewelry. He blessed it with us for us to share and to encourage and to support.
And people don't really realize, and I say it all the time, when you are blessed with the gift, you're really just the vessel. God gives you the gift. You're the vessel. He's giving it to you to push out, to serve, not for you to use it for your own. And I hate when I see people that don't believe, that don't really want to pay it forward. They feel like they worked hard, that they deserve that. Yeah, but if you don't really share that gift, he will take it away. So you have to always be careful about what you say and what you do and what you put out, and that energy that you put out, because you want to make sure you keep getting that blessed and paying it forward.
It's so important, because, you know, at the end of the day.
No, I was telling Mike,
but at the end of the day,
I
always say this, that Gene and I, the older we get, we have more associates that have passed on. And we go to more funerals now than we did 15, 20 years ago. And I've never been to a funeral where they had the funeral and they had his Mercedes beside it. Or, you know, they had a box full of money that he earned beside him. At the end of the day, you are measured by the impact that you have on other people's lives. And when people get up and give testimonies, they talk about, well, he would give his shirt off his back, or he taught me this, or he taught me that. And what I want to be remembered by is a man that touched some young men and women's lives, that encouraged them to go to culinary school or be entrepreneurs or be good husbands or be good parents or, you know, raise your kids to do the right thing. I'm super proud that neither one of our girls ever had drug, alcohol, teenage pregnancy, and none of those things. And they, while they're outstanding girls and did what they were supposed to do, mom and daddy stayed together and disciplined them and raised them and guided them. And we need to share that, because our community needs that. And it's so important. So very important.
That's great.
What's your least favorite thing to cook, and how do you deal with it?
Our least favorite thing to cook?
Yeah, the things you don't like to cook but have to deal with.
Okra. I just, you know what? You know what? My mom made us eat okra when we were younger, and we used to call it snot and boogers, because she, you remember?
Yeah.
Because it was boiled. But now, if you fry it, I can tolerate it a little bit. But for some reason, okra, and I can put it in gumbo. I love it in gumbo, but if I see it, I have to really, like, if I see it, I instantly get turned off. And I maybe because it's the way I had so much growing up as a child, which goes to show when you, how your childhood affects you as your adult life. It's so funny how you remember old stories. You know, when I see oak, it's like, oh, God. But now when I see peaches, because I used to always steal this man. Our next door neighbor had a peach tree. He was so mean. And every time he'd go to church or whatever, and we'd come home, we'd beat him home from church, and I would go over there, and I'd put peaches in my shirt and run over to the house.
She was stealing them.
And he jumped the fence, and he'd be throwing rocks at us. And my grandmother said, you know, that's stealing, and that's not right. She said, but that's going to be a mean peach cobbler. Good job. I'd be like, I know. So it's just, it's, I don't know, that's just one thing I don't like for me. And I don't eat many fried foods anymore. Like, not good for you. Bake it. At least try to bake something. Maybe make one day of just fried foods.
Sorry, there's nothing that I don't like to cook.
Okay.
Unfortunately. I cook everything.
Let me think.
Nothing.
You try my greens once. You can't get that.
No, well, I don't cook them. So he said, least thing you gonna cook. I don't cook Gina's greens. Wake Gina up, Mama. I got them picked and they're in the sink. And you got to season and get the water ready.
Lady in the front.
Hello, Gina.
Hi.
Watching your show had inspired me to start cooking Sunday dinners every Sunday. And Pat, I start on Saturday nights.
There you go, girl. I'm mad at you.
Isn't that an old tradition? Okay. If we didn't make Sunday dinner, you better be dead and have the death certificate with you. It was just you had to make it. Yeah.
It's incredible. It's a tradition. It's something about it.
Lady on the aisle right here.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I love you guys so much. Michael, I've always been a fan. But I'm Patty Jackson from WDAS. You know, I've interviewed you 1,000 times. But we haven't made to be with each other. Hi, guys. I cook all the time.
Patty's been with us since day one.
Hey, I love you guys so much. Don't mean to crash.
Good to see you.
So you're talking about so many things that are great. Sunday dinner is important.
It is.
When you think about the importance of family.
Absolutely.
And what it means, something as simple as Sunday dinner, making everybody show up, sit down, eat, and have dinner.
Yes.
It's so important to keep that family vibe going on. I work on Sundays, but I make it a point. In the afternoon, we eat dinner before I go to work.
Nice.
But you guys do such a great job. I want to get to page 100 of the book. I love barbecue.
She wants those AKA apartment ribs.
They call it the apartment ribs. The secret to, maybe if you can't get it on the grill, cooking it in the oven.
Right. Girl, that's, you don't want none of it. Let me tell you something. First
Patty,
of all,
that's who I talk to.
Sunday dinner is very special because our grandparents used to do it. We tell a story in the book about how my grandmother would get up at 4 a.m. and she was a church lady. I mean, she didn't miss church on Sundays.
And she'd
lay her clothes out on Saturday night, and she had the hat with the flower in it and the shoes and the handbag. I mean, our pastor's name was Reverend Whalum. And I don't know if you guys know Kirk Whalum.
Yes.
Well, Kirk Whalum's dad ran a church in Memphis, Olivet Church.
Yes.
And my grandmother worshiped the ground that Reverend Whalum walked on. And so here's what she would do on Sunday mornings. My grandfather went to a Methodist church, and she went to a Baptist church. One of the things I love about couples in those days, they did not get divorced. They went to separate church. They may have even slept in separate bedrooms, but they stayed together.
They did. That was kind of crazy.
And somehow, some way, we as a family need to start doing that, because as we separate as families, and as we separate, especially when we got young kids, then our kids get lost because mom and dad are not in the household. But in any event, that's another story. Y'all have to invite us back to do a marriage deal. She would get up at 4 a.m., and I tell this story in the book, and she would cook grits, and she would cook the bacon with the rind on it for my grandfather and all that, and he would go to the Methodist church. Then she would start her Sunday dinner, the cabbage and the okra, and right down her steps in her backyard was her garden. So she went and got her vegetables the day before, came up, prepared them all, meatloaf, cabbage, or fried chicken, or whatever it was. So dinner was done. Then she would go to her Southern Baptist church that started like 10 and ended like 3. Everybody got to sing and everybody got to give a testimony. And the pastor going to get up and he going to sweat through 3 or 4 shirts. And if he can't make 20 women holler and find glory in their church, he ain't going to stop until it's over, right? You got to run up and down. Several folks got to get happy. Then he gonna open the doors of the church 3-4 times, see how many folks he can join.
After he passed that offering plate.
Lord have mercy, by the time he passed that collection plate around, you ain't got car fare to get home, right? So then she come back home. It's 3-4 o'clock. Granddaddy didn't came home. He didn't take his clothes off. So now it's Sunday dinner. It's this huge spread. Mm-hmm. She would go and take her Sunday best off, and then we would have Sunday dinner. The oven ribs is so great, and I wanted to do it because people all over the country, everybody doesn't have a grill. So we take the ribs, pull the membrane off. I go through the whole process, season them the night before, wrap them in foil, bake them in that oven toward the end, pull that foil off, and baste them in that barbecue sauce. And look, if you didn't see the view the other day, Barbara Walters.
Barbara went to work on that rib.
I thought Barbara was going to pull her false teeth out. I said, sure, Barbara.
I'm not talking about Barbara.
I can say that now. We already been on it. They don't invite us back. They don't invite us. Barbara, keep your teeth in, girl. Quit playing.
You know,
with that local hero shirt?
We'll get you next.
I'll get to you. Gentleman with the local hero shirt.
Local hero.
So, who decides what to cook what, like, during holidays?
You know what? Pat and I have been married. How long, Pat? Since you know some.
This summer will be 20 years, but we've known each other and been dating for 35 years.
And our parents went to school together. Yeah. So, and, you know, I think I got hoodwinked because I was married to Pat for 1 year. I never forget, they had the holiday dinner, and Pat's mom ordered like her holiday meal from like Neiman Marcus or somewhere crazy. And had these. I was like, "There's not no holiday meal."
So what my homemade cornbread at?
I know, and I ended up going to a corner store. She didn't do cranberry sauce. She said she did baked apples. Okay. I said, "Girl, what?" So after that, every year we host Thanksgiving and Christmas. Everybody comes over, right. So we do all the work, and they leave, and they don't even clean. So, as a former note, just always when you go to someone's home to eat, ask them if they can help clean before you leave.
But we collaborate to answer your question. Yeah. A lot of times, Gina will say, "Well, Pat, you got the ham, you got the turkey. Are you going to smoke it, deep fry?" And then we got to have Gina's collard greens. And then her mother is going to come and peddle her potato salad.
Don't be telling my mama peddling her potato salad. And your mama peddling her cake.
Hear my mama come with that soccer tummy cake that we done had 8,000-9,000 times.
Right. That's you know, that soccer tummy cake one more time.
Her lasagna. I got to have my lasagna. So they come with their dishes. But, you know, we just all kind of pitch in. That's what it's all about.
Lady family style. Right, yes, ma'am. Right here.
We're going to get you, baby. I promise you. Yep. We ain't going to leave.
You're next.
Hello, everybody. Hi. I'm not standing because I will block that's whoever right. wants to see
we ain't
going to
get up either.
But hi, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
My name is Teresa, and my question is, I have a girlfriend that we've been friends for years, and she was my church member over here in Philly, but she has a restaurant in New Jersey, Oakland, New Jersey. And what advice could you give her as far as the business side? She's doing well with that, and she's touring with doing another restaurant. So just a small tidbit of
how long has she been in business?
She's been in business 15 years now, I think. 15 or 17 years.
What kind of cuisine is it?
It's soul food.
Soul food.
In the country. Aunt Berta's Kitchen. That's the name of it.
Yeah. Albert's Kitchen?
Aunt Berta's.
Oh, I'm going to say Albert's. What's Albert's then? Don't expand on that name.
It is Aunt Berta's Kitchen. And she was just talking to me the other day, and she was saying that she wants to branch out for another place. But it seems that is it that hard to get a restaurant together?
Listen,
after your first.
Go ahead, baby. I'm so sorry, but I just got so much on that.
I don't know why y'all didn't have me.
I can't. I almost can't sit still with it because you know what? And I want Gina to respond because we both probably have different perspectives on this. First of all. Bigger doesn't necessarily mean better. Mm-hmm. It never does. At one point in time, I had five restaurants all at the same time. Be very, very careful about expanding and opening up more locations because unless you have the support, the manpower, the money to do it, and now you're going to run back and forth, what you don't want to do is have one store paying the bills to maintain this other store. And if you have a staple, good business, and you say, well, I'm going to go across town and do another one, guess what? If this one is good enough,
Just march
They'll
on
come
that.
Across town to you. You don't have to go open up and have to rent for two locations and all of that unless you have a partner or good family members that you guys are clashing. You know, when I expanded, it wasn't because I thought I could make more money. It was because we were crowded. I had too many brothers, and, you know, I wanted Gene and I to do our own thing in our own location. I wanted to get them out of here. Go on over there and do that over there.
Okay.
But you have to be very careful because, especially when you're doing a soul food restaurant, everything is made from scratch. Mm-hmm. Okay, now who's going to get up and get the greens ready over here? Who's going to make sure that this meatloaf is prepared like I want? So I always tell people, unless, damn money, make sure you got the team in place and that you can... You are assured that you can duplicate what you're doing right here over there. Sometimes it ain't worth it. It's just not worth it. Some of your most famous restaurants have ran one place for 50, 60 years, and they become a staple. They become a mainstream of the city and the community, and they've made more money than they ever could by expanding, thinking that, well, I got three locations. That does not necessarily mean you're going to make more money. That would be my advice to her.
And, you know, and really, Houston, like, think about a franchise. Houston is a great example of that. If you notice, there's only ever one Houston in any city. One. Because they don't want to separate and have you go into all different locations. They want to keep their money and keep their product confined and concentrate on that. So if something is good and concentrate and you don't have to necessarily do it, I don't know if she's doing it for... Maybe she needs more, or she's trying to help family. You just have to be careful when you are in your own business, and because you have to think about health care. You're responsible for so many people, and I always worry about that. I always worry about staffing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to open up something that I can't keep, and then I have to hire somebody and let them go, because now I've removed their livelihood, and I feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if it's working where it is, you don't have to really expand. Just maybe increase it. And think of new ideas. Be innovative. Think outside of the box. Do something differently. But that doesn't necessarily move in and taking on more rent, incurring more debt. It's now cleaning debt. We don't want to take it in. We want to get debt off us.
Gene is so right because, I mean, everything is twice now. Two deposits, accounting, everything.
I just want to get two more questions.
We have two more questions.
Yes. Lady in blue right here, and there's a gentleman in the back, and I'm afraid they'll be the last two.
Hi. Y'all know I love you.
Thank you.
I just remember when being young, I'm not a breakfast cooker because I was never home when my mom cooked breakfast because I had to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a dinner cooker. I've been watching my mother cook since I was little. She passed on now. But I got six sisters, and I'm the cook of the family, and I'm next to the youngest.
Yeah.
And they call me for all everything. But asparagus. Not asparagus. Brussels sprouts. I don't like Brussels sprouts.
Me either.
But my husband loves
You can't
Brussels
eat
sprouts.
Them.
And I don't know what to do with them. Can you give me advice what to do with them?
Absolutely. Listen, get you some olive oil.
That's what he just said.
Get you some little garlic and little red pepper flakes and saute them in a skillet. And then take your Brussels sprouts and put them in there and kind of saute them around lightly. And then just pull them out and put them on a plate and season them with salt and pepper. It's not that difficult. I mean, it's not that difficult. Brussels sprouts can be very tasty if you season them properly and you saute them in a skillet and serve them fresh. They're kind of like asparagus. You can't cook them and let them sit for 3. You can't cook, baby, at 2 o'clock and then serve him Brussels sprouts at 7. You know, a lot of times when I cook, I'll wait till the last minute before... If it's something that won't keep and just put it in the skillet just before I get ready to serve it. But you can make it happen. Keep that main girl.
That's right. This gentleman in the back, I think.
You keep calling me a
gentleman.
Oh,
it's a woman. I'm sorry. The lighting is terrible. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Gina,
ma'am.
I would like to say that I would have not recognized you in your own restaurant. You are fabulous.
Yes.
You are fabulous.
Thank you.
I like that. And Pat, I want to know, are you still cooking for all them brothers?
No.
You don't? Because I wanted to know.
That was for television anyway. I ain't never cooking for them brothers.
That was strictly for the show. I know.
No, we have them over. They come over and we have guys' night. Guys' night. We do sport events and I'll grill and do some things. I had a couple of brothers that had some little minor health issues. So I cook for them. But, you know, I keep a little distance there. Gina get mad. Your brother's coming over again?
Yeah. Because I was wondering what they were doing since you're on this tour.
They're very busy and they're healthy. One, thank God, he had a heart transplant about a year ago.
Oh my God!
So he's doing
well,
which is a reason why we had to consider, you know, downsizing in Memphis. And the others are staying busy and being very supportive, as is Gina's sisters. You know, they call and they check in, how you guys doing? Y'all not killing each other in that small hotel room. And, you know, we've been blessed because all of our siblings are still with us and they're doing well and they've always supported us and shown much love. And so it's been fantastic.
Okay. Pat and Gina, thank you so much
for coming out.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.